You may be seated. We're gathered together today in the Lord's house to worship Him. And as we come before Him in this time of worship, we acknowledge that the Lord of glory is sovereign in life as well as in death. We come because we need a word to encourage and comfort our hearts and to encourage and comfort the hearts of the Melsom family. We come to praise the Lord also for His grace and His mercy. The Scriptures tell us that the Lord is faithful and His mercies endure forevermore. And we are thankful even at times of death and sorrow and bereavement, the Lord is still a faithful and loving and tender and gracious God. And we look to the Lord this morning to comfort Penny and her family, and I know they greatly appreciate your presence with them this morning. Those who have tuned in online to watch the live broadcast from across the world, we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that we might know the Lord's help at this time. We look to the Lord to graciously and mercifully undertake for this family. The Lord will minister to them and encourage their hearts, but not just to them. The Lord will minister to our hearts today through His word. We might be very conscious of His presence with us in this service. We're going to unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn to the first item of praise as we sing to the Lord's glory. But let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to Thee this morning in our Saviour's precious and worthy name, thankful that through Christ's life and death and resurrection, we have access to Thy throne. We come to the one who is our great High Priest, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and who has promised to those who come that they will obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We thank Thee today that Thou art God alone, and beside Thee there is none else, that Thou art the Almighty, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God of heaven and of earth. We thank Thee today also that Thou art upon the throne, that Thou art the sovereign God, and Thou art the one who controls all things in this world, and none can say unto Thee, what doest Thou? We bless Thee today that Thou art a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God of grace. We rejoice also, our Father, that we find true comfort from Thee, for Thou art the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. We pray, therefore, that Thou wilt come as we gather in Thy house today to give comfort to hearts, to speak to our souls, to minister unto us, Lord, and to this family circle especially. We do commit them into Thy care and into Thy keeping, praying that Thy blessing might be their portion at this time. We do thank Thee, our Father, for our brother Jeff. We thank Thee for Thy grace to him in saving his soul. We thank Thee for those who introduced him to the gospel, who brought him along to hear the word of everlasting life. And our Father, we thank Thee for the gift of faith and repentance that You gave to him, for the great salvation he experienced through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee now for him. He no longer walks by faith, he walks by sight. And we thank Thee for the glorious hope of the gospel. We remember Paul's testimony, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we thank Thee for the gain that is Jeff's at this very moment, as he has gone home to be with Christ, which is far better. We do pray for his family. We pray for Penny, Nathaniel, Jonathan, Christopher, and Anthony, and Gregory, that, Lord, Thou wilt remember them today and in the days to come. We pray that Thou wilt bind up their broken hearts, that Thou wilt encourage them, Thou wilt speak to them. We pray, Lord, Thou wilt uphold this family in Thy love and by Thy grace, that Thou wilt minister to them as You know their own and particular and special need at this time. We thank Thee for our Savior, who is the resurrection and the life. We think of the record of Scripture that reminds us that Christ wept at the grave of His friend Lazarus. We rejoice today that we come into the presence of one who is a tender Savior, a loving Christ, a gracious Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we gather here to sympathize with this family circle, that we might know in a very real sense the presence of the Lord himself with us. Bless as we worship thee today. Lord, we ask in times like this that our minds might be turned to the most important matters of all, the matters of life and death and eternity and salvation, the matter of our standing before thee, the matter of our relationship with thee. We pray, Lord, today that thou wilt come and by thy Spirit speak to us through thy precious word. We commit this time to thee, therefore we do pray for thy help. Lord, you have promised to be where thy people have gathered together, and we pray today we might be very conscious of your help in this service, and that all that will be said and done would be for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, hear and answer prayer. Meet with us now, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to hymn 545, a song of consecration and testimony. 545, Lord, send me anywhere. We'll ask you to stand as we sing this.
Turn to the Word of God. We find it in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 13 of the chapter. Paul is writing to encourage certain believers regarding the issue of death and the Lord's return and their resurrection and the great salvation that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. We'll finish at the end of that chapter at verse 18. We pray the Lord will bless his precious word to our hearts. I'm going to ask Mr. Steve Ludwig to come and to sing at this time, please.
Still, my soul, be still, and do not fear. The winds of change may rage tomorrow. God is at your side, and no longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you. Lesser lights and fleeting shadows, hold unto his ways with shield of faith against temptation's flaming arrows. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you. Forsake the truth you learned at the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you. Soul, be still. Be
As we return to the Word of God this morning, I want to express my deepest sympathy and the sympathy of this congregation to Penny and her family at this time of terrible, terrible loss. I've been contacted by many of our congregations across North America, individually and also on behalf of those congregations, and brethren have asked me to express their sympathy to this family circle as well. Death brings dreadful sorrow, and especially when it is the death of one so greatly loved and cherished and respected as Jeff Melson was. Although Jeff was a very quiet man, he touched many, many lives in different ways. And his passing, therefore, will affect many, many people. I think that's indicated in the congregation that is gathered here this morning. Many others who cannot come into the sanctuary because of lack of space or watching this service in other rooms in the church facilities. And this congregation has lost a long-standing member, a man with a servant's heart, who never really wanted the preeminence for himself, but quietly and happily worked in the background. College students and young people who attend this congregation have lost a faithful driver who very gladly brought them to the house of God each Lord's Day, but not just as a job, not just as a duty, but he had a genuine interest in those young people and very often had a word of encouragement for them. His work colleagues have lost a gifted manager and a co-worker who took his work very seriously and sought to do the very best that he could. I noticed yesterday online notices of sympathy from all over the world, from people who have worked with Jeff and Michelin and other committees and places that he served, and they held him in very high esteem, and they too have lost a very diligent colleague. His neighbors have lost a generous and thoughtful friend who often, when he became aware of particular needs that they had, sought to minister to them and help them and sought to be there for them in their times of difficulty. Many others have lost someone who was always willing to help where he could. Jeff will be greatly missed by so many people because he was a thoughtful, serving, helpful, unassuming kind of man. But those who will miss him the most will be his immediate family. Over the past weeks, as Jeff lay seriously ill in hospital, I've watched Penny, his wife of 33 years, fulfill her vow to love him in sickness and in health. She continued by his bedside day after day. And even when she herself was physically exhausted and emotionally drained, she continued to be there for him, comforting, encouraging, tending to his needs, never complaining, but always trusting, looking to the Lord for added grace, and especially as Jeff's condition worsened these past weeks. And their boys, Nathaniel and Nathaniel's wife, Lee, and Jonathan and Christopher and Anthony and Gregory, and Penny's two sisters also have played such an important role in visiting Jeff and supporting Penny in these past months. It's hard to comprehend the weight of care and anxiety that has filled their hearts these past weeks. Few families in my experience have had to face such a prolonged and protracted time of concern for a loved one who has not been well. Many have hoped and prayed and trusted and longed for Jeff to make a full recovery and to be restored to his family again. But God's ways are not our ways. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And late on Tuesday night, after weeks in the ICU, with his family gathered around his bedside, the Lord took Jeff home to be with himself. And while that is far better for Jeff, for as a young man, Jeff came to know Christ and trusted him as his own and personal Savior. And now he is with Christ, and therefore it's better for him. It has brought this family into deep, deep sorrow. Penny has lost her husband, whom she loved very dearly. And the boys have lost their father, whom they loved very dearly too. And their mourning and sense of loss is very real. And death comes in this way, and in many ways it was an unexpected thing, for none of us thought when Jeff was admitted to hospital in November that we would gather together today in God's house to mourn his passing. In that sense, it was unexpected. And when death comes in that kind of a circumstance, it is especially hard to take in. There's a numbness, a heaviness. The tears are real. The distress is real. The sorrow is real. The grief is real. The sense of shock is real. The sense of loss is real. And in many ways, there is little that can be said from a human perspective that alleviates that deep anguish and pain that is felt. And therefore, today we commend this family, Penny and her children, to the grace of God. Scripture tells us that it is God who gives the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It is the Lord who sustains. It is the Lord who strengthens. It is the Lord who hears the groans and the sighs of the brokenhearted. It is the Lord who regards the prayers of his people, because God is the God of all comfort. He is the Father of all mercies. His grace is sufficient, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I want to assure Penny and Nathaniel and Lee, Jonathan and Christopher and Anthony and Gregory of our prayers for them at this time. There are other members of the family circle who are watching the broadcast. We assure them of our prayers at this time as well. And we trust that God will very graciously meet you at the point of your need, that he will minister to your heart and encourage your soul and make his word a blessing to you in these days. As I thought about this service late on Tuesday night, my mind was immediately turned to the passage that we have read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Unknown to me, as Penny and I talked about the order of service and I asked her to choose the passage of Scripture she would have me to read, she chose the very same passage. And as the Lord was blessing that to her heart, he was speaking to my heart through the very same passage of Scripture. It's a passage that is designed to comfort God's people when a saved loved one is taken in death. And these words are speaking of one who dies in the Lord. Those who are dead in Christ. That is, the words are referring to the death of a Christian. To the death of a believer. To one who has trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. And while the passage acknowledges the reality of sorrow, it is full of encouragement and hope and comfort and victory and joy and eternal glory, all because of Christ. Paul reminds us here that we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. The Christian sorrows, but it's not a hopeless sorrow. For Penny and her family, today is a sad time. But there is a better and brighter day coming when all true believers shall be forever with the Lord. And that's a very comforting thought. And I trust it will be comforting for Penny as we gather here this morning. As I look at this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there are four very comforting truths that appear in these words that I want to draw your attention to. Words that relate to those who die in the Lord. First of all, I notice here the Christian and his rest. The Christian and his rest. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, Paul speaks of those who sleep in Jesus. With that kind of language, he is not referring to the soul. There is no mention in Scripture of the doctrine of soul sleep. That notion, that idea that the soul sleeps between death and the resurrection, that's a false doctrine. When the believer dies, their soul is immediately in the presence of Christ. They go to be with Christ, which is far better. The reference here to those who sleep in Jesus is primarily a reference to the rest that the Christian experiences at death, just as a man rests as he sleeps. So the Christian enters into his rest at death. The body rests in the grave while the soul is with the Savior. And at that time, the child of God, the believer, is freed from all the troubles, all the trials, all the temptations of life. His struggle with sin is over. His time of sorrow and suffering is past. His days of sickness are gone. He rests from his labors. He rests from his battles. He rests from his weariness. There is nothing now that can disturb the child of God. He is at rest. And note how this rest for the Christian comes. Paul speaks of those who sleep in Jesus. The phrase could be translated, those who sleep through Jesus, indicating very clearly that it's Christ who brings his people into this place of rest. What a picture that is. When Jeff was coming to his last hours, his last minutes on earth, what was really happening there? The Lord Jesus was bringing him into his rest. Because the Lord Jesus Christ attends the death of his people. When their time has come, it is Christ who puts them to sleep. It is Christ who carries them over. It's what our Westminster Catechism teaches when it says, in answer to the question, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? Because remember, the benefits of salvation are not just for life, they are for death and eternity. And the answer given to that question is the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. Soul has gone to be with Christ. The body rests in the grave till the resurrection. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sin for Jeff now. For Jeff Melsom has entered into his rest through his great Savior and only Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He sleeps through Jesus. He sleeps in Jesus. What a comforting truth that really is. The Christian and his rest. I see also here in the second place the Christian and his resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 paints a tremendous picture of the second coming of Christ. Verse 16 tells us there that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There's nothing secret, there's nothing silent about that. Christ will come in power and in great glory. He will come as King of kings and Lord of lords. Every eye shall see him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee shall bow before him. He will appear as he comes the second time. Our Lord Jesus Christ will appear in tremendous splendor. Nothing will stop his coming. and nothing will stop what happens at his coming. For verse 16 goes on to say, when Christ returns, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And then we read these words, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ, those who sleep in Jesus, the believers who have died. The believers who have died prior to Christ's coming were told in these words that they shall rise first. In other words, those who have already passed on, whose souls are with the Savior, whose bodies rest in the grave, will rise from the dead. Their graves will not be able to hold them. Death will not be able to keep them. The decay that has taken place will not be able to prevent them, for they will be raised from the dead. Paul put it this way in the majestic language of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Every believer shall be raised up at the last day. How does that happen? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's resurrection from the dead is the guarantee of every Christian's resurrection from the dead. He has redeemed us, body and soul, by his blood. And when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that redeemed body will be raised out of the grave and transformed. It will be an incorruptible body, a glorious body, a powerful body. It will be a spiritual body. It will be a raised. That's what Paul is telling the Thessalonians. These people were new converts to Christianity. And there were those around them who were saying that there's nothing after death. Nothing after death. And some say the same thing today. We live and we die and that's the end. It's not what Scripture teaches. John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good, that is, those who have trusted Christ as salvation, those who are in union with Jesus Christ, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, that is, those who do not know Christ as Savior, unto the resurrection of damnation. The saved person will be raised to eternal life. And their body will be reunited with their soul, and they shall be with the Lord forever. And the unsaved person will be raised to eternal destruction. But there is a resurrection. Jeff's body will not be in the grave forever. Jeff's body will not be in the grave forever. He will be raised again and his body will be transformed. What a truth that is. The Christian and his rest. The Christian and his resurrection. The third thought here is the Christian and his reunion. His reunion. Listen to the words of 1 Thessalonians 4 again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, not stop them, not hinder them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What Paul is simply saying here is this, that the dead in Christ, those who have died before Christ returns, they will rise first. then those who are alive on the earth, those who are alive and remain on the earth when Christ returns, they also shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So the dead will rise first, the dead believer will rise first out of the grave, and then those believers who are alive on the earth when Christ returns, they will also be caught up together with them in the clouds. Caught up together with them. What does that speak of? It speaks of a reunion. The whole church of Christ, all the people of God, all true believers shall be together that day with the Savior. There will be a reunion of our saved loved ones. One preacher said this: blissful will be the general assembling of the redeemed, never again to be broken up, the joy of meeting, never to part again. It is a sweet remedy for the bitterness of separation. When a couple marry, they vow faithfulness and love to each other until death parts them. And death does separate husbands and wives. We see that today. Penny has lost her husband. But there's a day coming when they will be together again and together with Christ. And what a happy reunion. What a happy reunion the people of God will have at that last day. Those saints who have passed on to glory, coming out of their graves, those saints who are still on earth, being caught up together with them in the clouds, and at the center of that great assembly of redeemed people, the center of that great assembly of Christians, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm often asked the question, will we know one another? Without doubt we will. We will be caught up together with the Lord. The Christian and his rest, the Christian and his resurrection, the Christian and his reunion, the Christian and his remaining, verse 17 puts it, then shall we ever be with the Lord. And it seems that what Paul is stressing here is that the soul has already been with the Lord, the soul of that believer who has passed on. Now their body is raised, incorruptible, and transformed, and glorified. And body and soul together, they shall be forever with the Lord. They shall remain with him forever and forever. Forever with Christ. Forever in glory. Forever before the heavenly throne of God. They shall be forever with the Lord. The word forever is a dreadful word for the unsaved person. Forever unsaved. Forever lost. Forever condemned. Forever separated from Christ. Forever tormented. And the endless punishment that they experience on account of their sin. Forever in hell. Forever is a dreadful word for the unsaved. But it's a tremendous word. It's a tremendous word for the believer. We shall be forever with the Lord. When we have been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It's forever and forever and forever and forever with Christ, which is far better. Think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 23. He says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And now the psalmist is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew him. He was in union with him. Christ was his Savior. And then at the end of the psalm, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. forever with the Lord. And only those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," can say, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a word about the believer in Jesus Christ. I can't bring that word of hope in the case of the death of an unbeliever. But I can, because Scripture does, in the case of a child of God. The one who has trusted in Christ for salvation. As a young man, the family took Jeff to church, introduced him to the gospel, spoke to him of Christ. As a young man, Jeff trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And now he's with Christ. Now he's with Christ. And the day will come when his body will be raised. And he will be forever with the Lord, body and soul, reunited with his loved ones who are also in Christ. Never, never to part again. That's why Paul says, comfort one another with these words. And I pray the Lord will comfort Penny's heart and the hearts of her family with the words of the gospel. For Jeff is now with the Lord. Let me ask one question in closing. Where will you be in eternity? Is it well with your soul? During Jeff's time in hospital, when things were not looking very well, Penny asked him, was he ready to meet the Lord? He said he was. He was. It's a question all of us would do well to ask ourselves. Are we ready to meet the Lord? You only will be if you know Christ as your Savior. If you know what it is to have his righteousness imputed to you, to be accepted in him, to be saved by his grace. What a tremendous comfort the gospel really is. And I pray today the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts, and to Penny's heart, and to the hearts of our family. May the Lord grant them tremendous grace. The Christ who saved Jeff and saved Penny has promised sufficient grace for her. And may she know that, and her boys, may they know that in these days for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I ask you to stand again, sing the hymn, "His Robes for Mine." Some of you know it, some of you have copies of it. We ask you to sing out if you know it, "His Robes for Mine."
Thank you.
remain standing.
Our Father and our God, we come to thee in our Savior's name this morning, thankful for Christ's atoning work. We thank thee for his death on the cross. We thank thee for him dying for Jeff Melson, taking Jeff's sin upon his own body to the tree. We thank thee he died for Jeff and rose for Jeff. We thank thee that for that day when you called Jeff to yourself and saved him by his grace. We think of Christ praying that his people would be with him, beholding his glory in the presence of his Father. Now that prayer has been answered, and Jeff has gone in to see Christ the King in all his glory. We thank thee for the tremendous power of the gospel. We thank thee it's for life and for death and for eternity. Lord, we lift up our hearts in praise to thee for thy mercy and thy grace to him. We pray for Penny today that thou wilt strengthen her. Lord, draw very near to her. Be a husband to her as you have promised in your word. And as she passes through the waters and through the fires, we pray, Lord, that she might be very conscious of thy presence with her. Encourage her heart. Bless thy word to her soul, we pray. We pray for Nathaniel and Lee, for Jonathan, for Christopher, for Anthony and Gregory, Penny's sisters, for the wider family circle. That, Lord, thou wilt be gracious to them in these days and minister mercifully unto them, we ask. May they know thy great presence with them. We do pray, Lord, as we part and leave thy house, that thou wilt take thy word and bless it to every soul. Our Father, we pray that we might number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto Christ himself. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So our Father, speak to our hearts. Speak to the hearts of all who have gathered in this house today. Let thy perfect will be done, we ask. We do pray for the grace of the Father, and the love of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to abide with his people now and forever. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.